Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer at WNYC. As the number of Omicron cases continues to rise, there's a sort of calculus people are having to make right now, what to do or not do this weekend ahead of holiday gatherings that you're more committed to, like with your core family members on Christmas for many of you. This coming weekend is the last weekend before Christmas, meaning you might find yourself debating in your own head whether to go to an office holiday party or a gathering with friends before getting ready to celebrate with family, maybe even with elderly relatives. So listeners, call up right now and tell us what you're doing or deciding about at the last minute not to do or debating it in your head for this weekend, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. And as your calls are coming in, I'll note that not just individuals, but also institutions are changing plans right now because of the new pandemic spikes, canceling what they consider non-essential gatherings. NYU just yesterday became the latest college to make that decision, and it applies to events both on and off campus, December graduation ceremonies, and other things. Other universities on the East Coast, we'll cite a few, and in the Midwest are taking similar precautions, and even the White House is scaling back its holiday party plans now, they say. So what's your institution doing if you're with an institution, or what are you doing individually or debating in your own head whether to do or not do that you were going to do this weekend? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. And with us now, Sharon Otterman, who covers healthcare and the pandemic for the New York Times Metro Desk. Hi, Sharon. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. It's so great to be here.
Can you start with the NYU story? What did they announce yesterday?
So NYU announced yesterday, as you said, that they were canceling all non-essential gatherings, like office Christmas parties, study groups, any athletic competitions. There was a graduation that was canceled that day. And the reason was that they were seeing an unusually, large surge or spike in their cases. And it's important to remember that this is in a nearly 100% vaccinated population. So I think they're 99% vaccinated on that campus.
I see that you tweeted out some new New York State stats on COVID. More than 5,000 new positive cases reported yesterday and 27 deaths in New York City in the one day. And you wrote that generally the state presages the city's numbers because the state reports based on day of tests and the city then backdates to the date of the sample. So that 27 deaths in the city in one day from COVID is higher than in many months, you wrote. Can you put that in context?
Yeah. So statewide, there were 13,000 cases reported yesterday from the state. And that is back to where we were last January. I think we all remember where we were in January. That 5,000 number, you're going to see that sort of spread over several days. According to the city, there's 3,700 new cases per day, but which is approximately back to where we were when we were coming down off the winter spike in early April. So these are very high caseloads. These are much higher than anything we've seen since the last surge or the end of the last surge. And I don't know about your life, Brian, but in my life, people are testing positive who have just been going about their normal vaccinated activities, like going to an art gallery opening or going on, just doing their normal life, where maybe they did take their mask off while they were drinking some wine in an art gallery, but did not expect to get sick. And so there's a feeling on social media and elsewhere that people who are vaccinated are now getting sick. A lot of these cases are mild, but it's definitely adding to that feeling in the city that we're watching what's happening in London. We're watching cases hit record numbers there. And we're wondering how big is this wave here going to get?
And you wrote, need a rapid PCR test in New York City? Hot commodity right now. What's the story with testing?
So if you walk through the city, you will see lines. They're not everywhere, but you'll see lines outside of city MDs. Sometimes I think that's because city MD is kind of a trusted purveyor of tests. There are city sites that are run by the city where you might not have to wait, but there's been obviously a surge in testing as people try to figure out if they tested positive. There's also some confusion because a lot of people are vaccinated, so they're not sure what should I do if somebody I had close contact with who was vaccinated just got sick and I'm also vaccinated. What should I get a test or should I just stay home? Or, there's some confusion, I think, too, about this moment.
So back to the colleges, we mentioned NYU, and even before NYU canceled non-essential events, Cornell actually moved all final exams online and canceled all in-person events. So were these cancellations at NYU, Cornell? I could go down the list from your article. You also wrote about Middlebury and Princeton and others. Simply precautionary measures, or were cases troublingly high already on those campuses?
Yeah, at Cornell, they had 900 cases in a week. And again, this is a population that is almost 100% vaccinated. So these were levels that they had never seen. They'd never been to code red, which was their, kind of scary term for the highest level, of caution. So they went to close all of these activities. It's always so interesting to see the difference between some of these recommendations and how regular New Yorkers are going about their lives. In the NYU note that went out yesterday, they're advising vaccinated students to only eat for 15 minutes and then put their masks back on and stay socially distanced while eating. So you could see that's the level of caution that they're taking given what they're seeing in this picture. Meanwhile, we're in a city where, everybody's going still out to restaurants and shows. And so there's just all kinds of advice going on here. But yes, these college campuses were seeing increases in cases that they found troubling.
So with these stories that you're telling and these stats that are emerging, for you as a healthcare reporter covering the pandemic locally, what do you think we're in for? Are we going back to movie theaters and Broadway and other things shutting down again?
I think everybody on the political end is very against shutdowns. So I don't think there's going to be a rush to shut down unless we are seeing our healthcare system overwhelmed. Now, upstate, they're already seeing their healthcare system overwhelmed, partially because of a lack of staffing and partially because of rising cases. In New York City, we still have a lot of a capacity in our healthcare system. So I don't think we're headed for a shutdown in the near term. I think that, though, people are just in this moment where there might be a lot of mild COVID around among the vaccinated and the boosted and are trying to decide what that means in their own personal lives. Are they going to go about their lives and just assume they might get mild COVID as a boosted individual? Hopefully it will inspire more people to get boosted. The city doesn't have a percentage of how many New Yorkers are boosted, but they say 1.5 million additional doses have been given. So if we're, 8 million New Yorkers and 6 million adults, so that's about 25% of New Yorkers have a boost. So these boosts are really important to fight these coming variants. And I think people are going to realize that if they haven't already, as they see people who thought that they were vaccinated and wouldn't get even a mild case do.
And with scientists scrambling to figure out what Omicron is and what it isn't, there's new data coming out every day. Just since we did our last show, Dr. Fauci announced yesterday that if you've gotten the Pfizer, and I think this also applies to Moderna, vaccine, just the first two doses, the effectiveness against Omicron is down to about 33% in terms of protecting you against getting symptoms at all. But if you got boosted, you're back way, way up where you were originally against Delta.
I think, which again is not 100%. I think you go back up to 75 or 80%.
Yes.
All of which is to say, you still have to take precautions. Even if you're a boosted individual, it's better if you're in an indoor public place. And now this is the rule, so I hope everyone's following the rule. You should have a mask on. You know, if you're around a vulnerable person, you should take some extra precautions, you know. So all of which to say is if your protection is only 75 or 80%, you do want to layer in something, you know, to help protect yourself.
Listeners, my guest is Sharon Otterman, who covers the pandemic for the New York Times locally, and we're inviting your calls on any decisions you're making about this coming weekend, the last weekend before Christmas, before maybe you're about to get together with family, maybe including elderly relatives. And if you're canceling things, or if your workplace is canceling holiday parties in person that were scheduled, we hear what some of these colleges and universities are doing. What are you doing? Court in Brooklyn, what are you doing? Hi, you're on WNYC.
Oh, good morning.
Hey there.
Yes, yes. Well, it is a thrill to be on your show. I wanted to share a small anecdote. I work for a big company. We had our big office party coming up that was supposed to be last night, and I was most looking forward to the coconut shrimp. Party got canceled last minute. Stayed home and made my own coconut shrimp for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you had to eat alone, right?
Nope, girlfriend joined me. She helped me put out the one small fire in the kitchen, and then we both had the shrimp.
I once did
no
that
joke.
Making French fries. I thought that the way to test if the oil was hot enough was to put a little water in it. Don't do that. Cord, thank you. Thank you very much. Rebecca in Ridgewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I was calling because I am hosting a holiday market tomorrow night from 4 to 9, and I invited 20 vendors, and I just started getting emails where people are sort of, you know, like, should we do this, should we not do this? A lot of people have invested, you know, time and energy into preparing their goods, so I just don't know whether to cancel, and I'm going on Sunday flying to visit my parents in New Mexico, so I really don't want to get it 2 days before I'm supposed to fly.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you what's the right thing to do, but Sharon, are you hearing a lot of these kinds of stories, these kinds of dilemmas?
Yeah, is your event outdoors?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people who are vaccinated at outdoor events with masks on can continue doing them. You know, you are vaccinated. I think the city would agree that it's these indoor events that are much more risky, even if now you're vaccinated, let's say, but not boosted, or even if you're vaccinated and boosted. If there's one person in the room who has Omicron, I was just listening in on a Mount Sinai call, that, you know, it's possible that even if you're vaccinated, everyone in the room can get Omicron. But these are events where you're not having, where you don't have masks on. So if you layer in those protections and you're outdoors, I don't know, I would do it. No, I'm not a doctor, but I would do it.
Thank you.
Rebecca,
yeah, we're going to try it.
Good luck. Good luck with it. Stay safe. We're going to take a break. When we continue with Sharon Otterman, I'm going to ask how good the data is now on just how much more transmissible Omicron is. I'm saying Omicron. Is it really Omicron? By the
I
way,
don't know.
Sharon?
I have
Omicron,
no idea.
Omicron, you know what we're talking about.
Tomato, tomato,
Omicron, Omicron. What is it that's making it so much more transmissible, or at least what are the data now about how much more transmissible it actually is than even the Delta variant? So stay with us, and we'll take more of your calls about your holiday plans and more. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Sharon Otterman from the New York Times, who covers the pandemic for the New York Times Metro Desk, so pandemic in our immediate area. Sharon, is it possible to put into words simply what, just how much, you know, I know we could talk about spike proteins and everything else, and I don't mean that, But just how much more transmissible is it? Like, if you're in a room, you were just saying, with vaccinated people with Omicron or Omicron, you are fairly likely to get it if you're indoors and unmasked. Does that mean it aerosolizes more effectively? You know, not only if somebody's breathing or talking or coughing right on you, but if just it spreads more in the air in the same room, or what can you say?
So I'm not a scientist, so I'm going to hesitate a little on the technical details of how it spreads. I think the scientists themselves are just learning. Some of that information is epidemiologists in London who are reporting what's happening at parties or gatherings that they are hearing about in a place where there is now a lot of Omicron. I'm going to just go with Omicron as the pronunciation. So I don't think that we know exactly. I think, put it this way. I don't know exactly why it's so transmissible.
Right. You can say
what
I
see
know.
Is that, what I see is that the signature of the Omicron case curve is that it's almost a straight vertical line. So I believe it has something to do with more virus in the nose, which means that there's going to be more virus spreading. But the Omicron apparently is less active in the lungs, which may be why some people are reporting more mild cases. But I also think that, and every scientist you hear is saying this, you shouldn't think that, oh, great, now Omicron is just like the common cold, so we shouldn't worry about getting it. Omicron can still have serious effects. So although most of us are vaccinated and I hope we're all going to have mild cases if we get it. But there will be vulnerable people out there who will have more serious cases that require hospitalization. They're also seeing that in London.
By the way, I'm told that one former guest on the show before this variant broke calls it Omicron, which makes me think, I wish we could just take that O and call it zero microns, because then it wouldn't exist.
Yeah, that'd
right.
be great.
Ian in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Brian. Okay, where do I start? Okay, first of all, to everyone listening, I'm a real caller. I'm not a plant. No one knows me. I'm double vaxxed, and I caught the virus. Mm-hmm. Around Thanksgiving, I started seeing a little sinus infection kind of thing going on. So at Thanksgiving, at dinner, I just separated myself and said, look, before I become a Debbie Downer, I'm just going to go in another room. Friday, here I am taking sinus medicine, Flonase, still not going away. Now, my mother had to fly to Jamaica on Tuesday. So Saturday, she had to get her rapid. I said, carpe diem, while I'm here, let me just see if I can get something. And the doctor says, do you want to take a test? I said, sure. She comes back negative on her rapid. I come back positive on my rapid. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, okay, now you just got to wait for your PCR. So I did the responsible thing. We're in an apartment. My wife is negative. My daughter is negative. My other daughter is negative. The other thing I want to promote, that city-run hotel thing, oh, my God, what a program.
City-run hotel?
Brian.
What's
it
that?
Is
Which
incredible.
One?
LaGuardia. Where if you live in an apartment and you cannot isolate, you call the city, and they will put you in a hotel for 7 to 10 days.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, what an incredible program
you
that was.
You did that?
I did that because the responsible thing was to separate myself from my family. So I told my wife, you got to take out the garbage for a week, and I'm gone. So I did it for 7 days. I'm back home now. I'm back to work. But the one thing I need to know, I need to fly out Friday. Is it too early to take a rapid? That's the other thing, because my tickets are paid for.
Wow. Is it too early to take a rapid? Well, today's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. So what are the rules now, Sharon? Is it same day or 24 hours, it's okay now if the flight is in the morning tomorrow? Do you know how that's working?
The rules have changed, and I think They might differ depending on your destination. So I would just check, you know, the Jamaican consulate or and the State Department, CDC homepages to make sure that you're in that window.
Yeah, and it is about the country that you're arriving in, isn't it?
I think, yeah. We are now requiring the U.S. for international arrivals. You have to be vaccinated and test negative within 24 hours, within one day. So you could take it the prior day if you were coming into the U.S. But I'm not sure about flying out. It might depend on your destination.
Ian, I hope that's helpful and really interesting story. And I hope you and everybody around is okay. Please call us again. How about those quarantine hotels? Have you reported on that?
Yeah, I mean, and what's interesting is that, and this is, again, part of the confusion, if you're fully vaccinated, such as his, I don't know if he didn't say, but maybe his wife was fully vaccinated as well. You know, officially, the contact does not need to quarantine. So it is a little confusing. I mean, she didn't need to quarantine. But yeah, the hotels have been probably an underutilized resource that anybody who's sick, even if you're vaccinated and sick, who needs to separate away from the people in their apartment can go for free to a hotel and stay there, as he said, 7 to 10 days. And we should take advantage of that because, as he said, it is responsible and it will help prevent spread.
Do they have enough rooms for the potential demand as Omicron spreads?
I think so. As I said, it's been underutilized for a long time. Very few people were using these. These units. So I think the city is committed to doing it. I know they have the space. And so I think the city would be happy, actually, if they ran into a capacity issue. They would have more rooms. They've been trying to promote this.
Interesting. Yeah, it's barely come up on the show. So we should probably do a separate or some kind of closer look at that because it really hasn't gotten that much publicity. Melissa in Mercer County is going to be a last caller in this segment. Melissa, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi there. I just want to share an anecdote. We went to the office Christmas party last Thursday in the city. The company put a lot of effort into FedExing COVID tests, the rapid tests out to everyone. Everyone was meant to take the test at noon. Some people are in the office, some people are working from home. And then when you get a negative, if you get a negative, you go to the party. And it was, everybody was unmasked. I was extremely uncomfortable in the lead up and while we were there. And it just felt like on the one hand, you don't want to look the company gift in the mouth and turn your back on going to the party they so generously threw. But the pressure to be there without a mask on, even though everybody tested negative, very difficult to negotiate in my mind. I'm still conflicted and not happy about it.
Yeah, I think you're articulating something that a lot of people have thought, whether or not they've said it out loud, like you just did. And so, Sharon, any thought on that? And I wonder if the standard now, if Omicron is becoming apparently so transmissible, if the standard of, okay, if everybody at our party has gotten a negative test within the last day, then it's all right. If even that standard has to change.
Yeah, I think these are all things that we're gonna have to see. I saw in the news there was the Manhattan DA, one of the units, had a holiday party and they had 40 positive cases out of it. And so it shut down one of the units of the DA's office.
Right, but we don't know if they were testing everybody on the day before.
Yeah,
right?
No. Yeah. In terms of whether testing, I mean, rapid tests you take at home are approximately 85% accurate. So there's a little bit of wiggle in there, especially if you are asymptomatic. So nothing's going to be foolproof. So again, we're back to, this is like earlier stages of the pandemic. And this is why something like NYU is canceling non-essential activities. If you have to do something, you know, are you willing to take a little bit of a risk that there's going to be COVID there? Yeah. If it's, you know, something you don't have to do, and I think that's some of her anxiety about the holiday party, you know, she's probably saying, socially I feel kind of required to do this, but this is not a must do. So why do I even have to accept any extra risk? So again, it's this risk calculation that we wished would be over by now, but that we are still having to take before these events. Is there a little risk? Of course. You know, is it worth it? And this also reminds me of early in the pandemic. I remember in March, I went March 8th or 6th, that weekend before we shut down, I went to a children's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, this is probably the last party we're going to go to. But it was still like in that window where it was still probably okay. And I think as this wave approaches, we might be in that situation again where we're making literally day by day calculations. Today, it feels okay, but tomorrow might not feel okay.
Right.
And so it's, again, all these risk calculations that we unfortunately have to make for ourselves.
Yeah. Where is that day on the calendar for each individual? Here we are again, making day-by-day risk calculations. Sharon Otterman's reporting on that for the New York Times. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks to the listeners, too. Great questions.